Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Wachler.
And we're joined by a very special guest.
Pat Lorre. I don't have a nickname yet. We'll think of one, though.
All right.
Thanks for being here, Pat.
Thanks for having me.
We're not breaking the 10-person rule. There's just three of us hanging out.
Just three? Yeah, just having a good time, vibing.
Talking clips.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Yes.
In case I didn't say that up top, know it. Yeah. Listen to it. Great time to check out. Maybe if you have a favorite Eastern Conference team that you'd like to learn some more about,
yeah,
check out all the content on the Locked On NBA Network. We're
still coming at you daily. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, we're still coming at you 5 days a week. So today we're going to kick things off with our What You Say Wednesday poll. This one, we kind of threw it out there. What Western Conference team is going to benefit from this break the most?
It was pretty divided in the comments, not so much in the results.
Yeah, yeah. So anyways, we'll be getting into that, and then we're going to be continuing our series. We did one on Monday of working during the break. We're going to talk about today like what the main bench guys should be working on to coming in. And then some shavings. We've got another
coronavirus update happening on
some news
Tuesday
yep.
night. Yeah, that we're going to talk about,
and then also some player kind of social media stuff.
Yeah, it's there's one ex Clipper in particular who's a beacon of hope on social media right now. But let's get into this What You Say Wednesday. Thank you to everyone who voted at Locked On Clips. Put it on like Tuesday morning at like 7:30 usually.
Yeah,
this was a William Updike special. Well, what was the question?
Which Western Conference team benefits from the break the most? We put four options in there for you. There was Clippers, Lakers, Rockets, and Mavs. We also opened it up if people wanted it in the comments. Leave their own thing. We'll get
and
into
they
that
did.
Later. But I feel like I maybe omitted the Blazers in this one as sort of an obvious choice. But anyways, overwhelmingly, people voted Clippers nearly 61% believe that the Clippers will benefit the most from this break, followed by the Lakers at 24%, Rockets at 10%, and Mavs at 6%.
Pat, where did you settle on this?
I think it's pretty clearly the Clippers. I mean, based off the quarantine of the players and the fact that NBA practices are canceled, basically I think the question comes down to who's healthiest. I think the Clippers are by far the least healthy team, giving Kawhi and Paul George more time off to just get in the right headspace and to get healthy again, I think is the most beneficial. I don't think that the Lakers need any time off. I think the Rockets were in a good vibe. I don't think them not being able to practice is going to be any help, and especially the Mavericks, such a young team, unexperienced in the playoffs, not playing together for this long and having this much rest. These younger guys don't know how to deal with that as well, don't know how to manipulate practice for themselves as well. So I think the Clippers are by far the most benefited team.
Will?
I was pretty sure both of these two teams would get the most votes.
Yeah, I think I agree with the Clippers for sure. Go ahead, sorry.
I think that it's good. I mean, it's obviously great for the Clippers. They've been struggling with injuries all year long.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Lakers benefit just because the usage and minutes for their two main guys are are relatively high. So I think those guys. And then I was surprised actually that the Rockets didn't get a little bit more love on this, just given James Harden's kind of history of burning out in the regular season.
Oh, that's a good call.
And coming into the post a little bit late. I guess I would go this if I have to go one single team that benefits the most. In my eyes, it's kind of the Lakers. Like, that's a scary team to me. If after 3 months or so, these guys are like coming back in fresh. Because they gelled so quickly as a team. I didn't think they'd have as much continuity as they still do at post All-Star break.
For sure.
Not being able to practice together, I feel like, is less of a detriment to them than it is to the Clippers or even the Rockets or the Mavs.
M. Jones at Twitter, MJones_Vandy3, who I once saw in an airport. He said, it's the Lakers, and I think it's obvious. They went all in and avoided most load management opportunities to secure the one seed. Now they have one seed and a long break. Still think we are better, but they won this question.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically...
They do get a big load management break.
Absolutely. Especially considering the amount of minutes that LeBron James is putting on himself.
It also, like, their bench that doesn't really ever get a play.
Right.
as much like just gets even more rest. Absolutely. Someone said in the Rockets, they said they're on a terrible losing streak. A team that relies so heavily on Westbrook and Harden, who have both shown they both break down in the playoffs. So a lot of like, there was Utah Jazz was voted for on this in the comments, which
just because two players have the virus, is that the reasoning?
I think that was mostly the reasoning.
A fringe one that we forgot to include would be the Blazers.
Yeah, for sure. If Nurk comes back, Lillard getting 100% healthy.
And just the rest. I mean, like,
for sure.
We talked about this a little bit on yesterday's episode, but we were entering in the home stretch of the season where, you know, nagging things kind of turn into bigger things. And I do feel like fatigue, you know, injuries start to pop up a little bit more with some more regularity.
Someone in the comments at DevinSmith635 said, we'd actually been load managing Kawhi now. I wish we did chill on that since we got this break. Which is fair. But also, the thing that gets me about the break for the Clippers that worries me a little bit is just the chemistry and the consistency with Morris, who needs to kind of get used to the playbook and his role a little bit more, which we talked a little bit about on yesterday's episode. And Reggie, who's going to be such a ball dominant second guard.
Who was working so well, too. Like, I worry.
Yeah.
I mean, time away. I don't know if
that'll. Like, it was looking so
we
good.
We can't expect it to improve, you know, necessarily.
Yeah, for sure.
It's either going to stay the same, which would be best case scenario, or you know, get worse.
Yeah, that would 100% be best case scenario. Someone said the Sixers were the one that benefited the most.
Well, like, we said Western Conference.
We said Western Conference. Woj just
but if he could come back, that'd be wild.
Woj just had a tweet 4 minutes ago. The ex-U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy, new to my lexicon, delivered the NBA Board of Governors call a message consistent with other credible health organizations of grim potential impact of coronavirus pandemic in U.S., but left owners with hope of restarting season/playoffs before July.
That's a great update.
Kind of. Real top-heavy with the grim stuff by Woj, which was interesting.
Has to be said, though.
No, I know. It's just crazy. Cartel Capo at True Art Hustler, TRU, no E, said, I don't think anyone, you got to be in continuous motion, or maybe everybody's back at ground zero with a fresh start.
I think that's a really valid take.
I feel like it might even out who benefits the most.
Yeah.
Because it's just such a, like, extended period of time.
That also begs the question, though, do you just restart the season in a way, or do you just cancel out the rest of the season? If everyone's just getting in with such a fresh slate, it's almost unfair to be like, well, all of those games still count, and now we're going to play the last, what, how many games are left? 15, 20 games, not even? I mean, did you play those last games and then go to the playoffs, or do you just say, we're just going to continue into next season as if it was almost like a lockout or something?
So no playoffs.
Right.
No champion for this year.
Right.
Absolutely not.
No, that's absurd.
You're on a Clippers podcast, sir. It's our year.
That's absurd.
No, you come back, you play a week and a half of the season, you shorten it, which is what I think might happen, which sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I've always
been. But then you play full playoffs.
Yeah, I've been a proponent of, since the beginning, like, if they have to limit games to only conference play, limits travel, limits fatigue,
yeah.
As well as, I mean, I just feel like that's kind of what matters if we're talking about, I mean, if the culmination of the season is a championship between East and West, I mean, I think that that's the most important thing in seeding.
And, like, we'll wrap up a point, you can't just, like, start the playoffs.
Right.
Because you can't just start playoff basketball.
You can't just start the playoffs.
So, yeah, you eliminate the, yeah,
you have to give them some games. So, how long do you expect? Because, feasibly, think about it. Let's say they start games in June. They have to figure out the rest of that month, get that last month in. Then there's, what, 2 months of the playoffs? And then you expect these guys just to turn around and start the season back up in a traditional manner?
They'll cut summer league and workouts and stuff. I don't know.
I also think they will delay the start of the regular season. It was one of the things that was proposed to the Board of Governors.
Oh, that's a good call.
And it's so weird that it's the Board of Governors.
Yeah, I don't like it.
It's super weird.
I don't know why it has to be that. I don't like it.
I don't understand where it came from.
But anyways – Should we get into our next segment?
I think that about wraps it up. Thank you, everyone, for voting. You can vote at Locked On Clips.
Every single Tuesday morning.
Every Tuesday morning, for sure. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking working during the break, bench edition. But first, for a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. If you start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDONNBA, all cap letters, one word. Coming up after this, bench edition, working during the break.
All right. So, working during the break, bench edition. If you haven't listened yet on Monday's episode, I say this with such confidence, the days are all blending
the
together.
The days are blending together, man. We're all on house arrest here.
On Monday's episode, we did working during the break, starters edition. So, if you haven't already, go ahead and check that out. But today, we're talking bench. So,
main bench.
Main bench.
I list out all the bench
guys. I mean,
guys,
you put Noah on here, so I don't know about main
bench.
That
was a question mark, because I kind of wanted to get that one out of the way, because we have some stuff he's got to work on.
Yeah. Let's start with the very top-heavy two of the bench. Let's kick it off with Lou.
So I'm kind of torn on this one, is that part of me wants him to work on defense more, but part of me also...
It's solo?
Yeah, footwork, I don't know.
He's got to get the Tims on, get on the beach.
Film, exactly. But also, I know he's not needed to do that. Like, I know that's not, you know what I mean? Like, passing, but that's another thing that's difficult.
Yeah.
His passing hasn't been horrible this year. Ball security, I guess I'd like to see.
Yeah.
It's just things that need to be worked on next to Reggie, which sucks.
I mean, yeah. No, that's fair. I would
have actual numbers to back something up, because that's fair.
I would disagree with his passing has been the worst. He's averaging more assists this season than any other point in his career. He's a career 3.5 assist a game guy. He's up to 5.7. Like, he's almost
still
doubled
even with
his,
Reggie. Damn. All right.
He's almost doubled his assists, and there were a couple games even with Reggie where Lou Will had like 7+ assists, and I was surprised that it wasn't completely taking the playmaking away from Lou Williams.
That's fair.
But I think defense is, you know, that's a definite hope. I don't know if we kind of have to give up on that one.
I guess it's that. Yeah, I guess saying refocusing is the exact same as saying giving up.
But I would like to see his efficiency improve overall. He's shooting decently from three this season. He's like 36% on 5 attempts a game. However, his field goal percentage.
I'm happy with that. That's great.
His field goal percentage has fallen, I mean, a little bit. Not that much from what it was last year. But I guess if I could have anything, it would just be Lou Will picking his spots. You know, he knows better than anybody else, but like, it's still one of those things where maybe it's just getting some more reps in on those kind of contested shots.
Shot selection is a thing for a few guys on this list, and with Marcus Morris, when we talked about the starters too.
Yeah.
Pat,
do you have any Lou Will? Anything Lou Will should work on in the on this break?
Can't get it any wronger than I did with his passing. So
no, I mean, that's fine. Like, that's the eye test is a valid test,
man. What do you want me to do?
No, I agree. I think he's played really well alongside Reggie Jackson so far, which I think is super important in terms of their playoff success. Because I do think Reggie will be on the playoff rotation.
Has to be.
Right. But I really think. Yeah, I think passing is a huge thing. Off-ball work, I think, would be huge for him. But more so, I think, just getting his reps in and staying fresh. I think he's played really well this year.
I think that's a great note. Just maintaining.
Just keep it steady.
Really. Yeah.
Next, we have Trez.
Trez, do you want to kick this one off? You want me to kick this off?
I'll kick this one off. I think him staying – I just want him to rest.
Okay.
He's played – so well. He's, you know, the screen, taking the charges, making up for some things he doesn't do as well in the post defense by taking charges, by being a top 10 defender around the rim and opponent field goal percentage. Like, he's improved so much this year. Passing would be nice.
So that's my main thing.
But I'm not sure how that happens if you can't practice with everybody. Because that's what I mean by Reggie is such an important part of this, because, like, he's so new. But he's such an important piece of the bench rotation.
Definitely.
But I mean, Trez, really, it would just be rest. Like, We've seen him roll the same ankle 19 times or whatever it is. He plays those crazy stretches. Like, I think just rest up.
That's a good
keep
call.
The free throws going too. He's been shooting well from the line, and his rebounding has been fantastic. Like, just I don't want him to lose any momentum, really, which is going to be difficult. But I don't think he's going to really take a break. Like, I want him to rest, but I don't think he will. We've all seen what he looks like in the Drew League and stuff like that during the off season.
For sure.
So he's going to find a court.
For sure. Like, yeah.
He's going to find a court, which is good.
Cam's on amateurs.
Yeah. Like, but I don't know. What do you think he needs to work on?
I mean, I would agree with you with the assists. His numbers are down from last year, not super dramatically. But, you know, he was
they
only
can't
like a
be
two,
that. Yeah.
Yeah. He was only like a two assist per game guy last year. But I say that because I think that it's gotten the ball gets sometimes pretty sticky with Trez, especially when he's getting the ball further and further out from the paint. And
dude,
like,
yeah. Oh, I'd like him to work on his handles because if he's gonna dribble the ball as much as he does on the low block next to the 50 logo at Staples Center, I would like it to look a little tighter than it does.
Yeah. So that, I mean, like that ties into my like assist thing too, is like, he sometimes gets tunnel vision, and we've seen it so many times where it's like, okay, he's just going to like pick up his dribble. Yeah. And go and like try to bulldoze his way in when there's, you know, there's a shooter out there.
Yeah, for sure. Anything for Trez?
I think defensively he could be working on some stuff. I think his offensive game has been pretty in line with what he's been able to do in the past. I mean, averaging career high in points. I mean, up 2 points from last year, which is previous career high. If he can get his blocks and steals up a little bit, I'm not even going to ask him to do assists. I think it's just kind of not ever going to be Trez's thing. But if he can get his blocks and steals up and maybe his defensive rotations in the right line a little bit more, I think Doc Rivers is a great mentor for that. If he kind of reaches out to Doc, get some defensive advice and just kind of really hones in on that for this, you know, extended break, it could be such huge, it could pay huge dividends for the Clippers in the playoffs.
He's been good at guarding. He's quick enough to guard on the perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he maintains that. You know what I mean? Like, he's obviously going to, but like a faster Trez would be an incredible player.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's slow at all, but like imagining Trez with just, you know, some kicked up speed a little bit.
Yeah.
Would be insane, especially on the break. Let's go to Landry Shamet, who's a bit of an interesting figure so far this year.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen him in the starting lineup. We've seen him kind of
definitely not in the starting
lineup. Yeah, we've seen him move to, you know, a peripheral player.
Clipperholics came out with an article today, Tuesday when we're recording this, about how he might be one of the guys who loses a spot in the playoff rotation, which was unthinkable at the beginning of the year.
I agree.
Like,
yeah.
What does he need to work on, though, that he can work on in this situation?
I mean, I guess just like it'd be great to see him work on, like, come back a little bit stronger defensively. Maybe that's just watching film, kind of getting used to things. He has, like, effort-wise improved in that area.
For sure.
He's definitely doing his best to stay with guys. And, you know, maybe he's just one of those guys where, like, it's not going to be there. He's a little bit of an undersized guard.
He's kind of a weird – yeah.
Which is fine. But, I mean, shooters are going to keep shooting, so I just hope that – I mean, like, I don't think that's going to go away. And he's still at, like, damn near 40% from three on the season, which isn't the 45% that we saw last year, but –
it's still elite.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I think it's passing. I think it's maybe just ball handling, more confident on drives. He has not finished well around, like, eye test-wise, he, like, around the rim sometimes, it's just, like, he's not going up as aggressively as you want him to.
Yeah, he is definitely more aggressive from last year, but I agree. The drives, for sure. The passing thing, I think, I mean, I just think we should abandon that. This is not the season.
That's kind of how I feel about the Lou defense thing. Is I'm like, should we even really worry about work on this that much?
I mean, we came in from the
passing is obviously different to work on, but
yeah, we came in the offseason hot on the idea of a little bit of point Landry.
I was so psyched,
positively sweating.
For two
about
weeks,
it.
I was like, this is the best idea in the world. And it didn't look good.
It hasn't panned out. The addition of Reggie, I just think, further cements that that's not going to be a priority, and I don't think we should try to force it.
Yeah.
can I say everything? I just think Shamit's been disappointing this year.
Whoa.
I just do. I mean, I had, like, again, going into the season.
Throw you into a group of 15 people.
He came into this year with a lot of high hopes for me, and I think a lot of Clipper fans, and he just hasn't really reached them, let alone, like, come close. I think if he can gain some confidence, he's looked really scared out there at times this year, and I think that's a huge issue. They're going to ask him to play important playoff minutes at this point, I think. I do think it's totally feasible that he doesn't. I think it's totally feasible that he doesn't, but if he can get his stroke back, he is one of the top 15 three-point shooters in the league, we can argue. I mean, last year he shot over 40%. I mean, he could be a very important player down the stretch, especially in late-game stretches where you need players off the bench to contribute points and minutes. If he can just get that confidence up and he can get that stroke down to where he's really, really poised and can get it down, I think it really will be the most benefit to the team.
What a roller coaster of a tag. He's a disappointment. He could get major playoff minutes.
He can, but he's been at this point in time, no, he will not get major minutes. But if he can show when they get back into the regular season and they've had this extended break, he comes in with more confidence, gets that stroke back to what it looked like at the end of last year, yeah, I think he can definitely regain Doc's trust.
I think that's a fair take. I mean, I
don't know how he works on it, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my thing. It's like the confidence isn't not there. I mean, the confidence might – I think he'll get it back
on the break.
It gets
shaky at points.
Yeah. But I'm not – yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's been a disappointment.
I think
it hasn't gone as how we wanted, but I'm not necessarily disappointed.
I mean,
disappointed.
His role is just different than it was last year, so he was never going to be able to replicate that.
Yeah. Let's move on to Reggie Jackson. I got a really quick one for this one. This is the quickest one. Nothing. just maintain whatever, do whatever exact routine you were doing on your days off before you came to the Clippers, and do that for the whole time. Because you're playing fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, he's fitting in so well that I'm like, just, I don't know, hang.
Definitely. I mean,
shot selection is one of those things, obviously, but that's like an always thing with Reggie.
I can't even – I got to agree with you. Just kind of maintain. I mean, he's so much more efficient from two and three than he was in Detroit. You know, career – I think career highs in that regard. Yeah, in both three-point percentage and field goal percentage. Obviously, it's on a diminished role, but he makes the most of the minutes that have been available to him, and I just think that I just think that maintaining, maybe if he could get a peek at the playbook, you know, maybe he watches
playbook
a little
sharing
bit more.
Is illegal during the quarantine. Yeah.
Well, his Doc, like, makes a big deal out of he's only really shared with like three players. Yeah. I mean, that's all I was referencing, but maintained and just keep watching film. Maybe actually don't watch film. Don't overthink it.
That's what I mean.
Don't
like,
overthink
I'm like, just
it.
Like, just keep doing your thing.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Like,
no, you're right. I don't want him to do anything. Like, I just stay in shape.
Hang out while Paul George plays streams video games or whatever. Like,
his Clippers split is insane. It's it's 52-45-90. Like,
yeah. Keep everything going the same. I'm totally fine with it. And then real quick, we got Jamichael Green. We're saving Patterson, Rodney, and Amir for another episode. We're going to do two whole episodes actually dedicated to what Amir Coffey needs to do to improve. What does Jamichael Green need to do? Another quasi-conundrum in the Shamit sphere.
Well, I guess the thing that jumps out to me the most is just like the focus on defense. He does get into some foul trouble. He's fouling less, I guess, this year than he was last year.
But it feels like it comes in bunches.
But it feels like it definitely comes in bunches. And that is one of those things that, I mean, I think in playoff rotations, we're going to see a little bit of Jamichael Moore at the four or the five.
Jamichael Green.
Come on.
yeah. Did I, what?
No, Jamichael Moore, M-O-R-E, as in.
We're
going to
see
Jamichael
Moore at the...
come on, man.
So I think the...
Thanks for coming on the show, Pat.
We'll see you later, buddy.
Sorry, guys.
He needs to work on the offensive fouls. He's had a few erratic offensive fouls.
Yeah.
So far this season, which is interesting, which I guess like the aggressiveness is good.
Yeah. And just getting shots up, man. Like the 3-point shooting, it's lower currently than his career average, albeit not by much. Certainly much lower than we saw last year. I mean, I don't know how sustainable it was for him to keep shooting 41%.
Come on, believe in something, dude.
I mean, he was damn near 40 when he was that last year in Memphis. His attempts have gone up, so I mean, you expect even there like a little bit of a regression, but yeah, just getting shots up and man, flocking in on defense a little more.
Do you have any notes on JaMychal Green?
No, I think that's great. I mean, his splits from last year are a little bit down, but I think it's been a weird season for him. Especially splitting with Patrick Patterson early on. I think they kind of might have not jump-started his game the way they thought it might, and it kind of slowed him down. But, again, if he's one of those guys, if he can just come in, like, ready to go, fully energized, fully healthy, I think he could be really valuable.
There y'all have it. Let us know what you think the bench needs to work on during the break. At Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler. Coming up after this, we got shavings that is absolutely all over the place.
All right. So we're into shavings. Obviously, big news. Woj reported earlier this morning that 4 Nets have tested positive for Corona. As of 2 or 3 hours ago, it is
KD has it. Kevin Durant. When are we going to get Clippers results? Because this happened after the Nets were in the Bay Area. Clippers were very recently in the Bay Area.
Yep.
A little over a week ago.
The Nets were here when they played the Clippers a couple weeks ago. They were supposed to stay downtown L.A., but a couple hotels canceled on them because of the virus and everything already being heard.
Oh, yeah, for that Friday game.
I believe so. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. When are we going to get Clippers? Like, what? KD's fine, also. He's like, I believe he's asymptomatic. Well, we got to be getting Clippers results soon, right? Like,
yeah.
We're kind of in one of the more, like, state-wise.
Higher risk areas.
Yeah, we were in the Bay Area on Monday.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just wonder, I mean, this is, I guess, a bigger question. Are teams under any sort of obligation to release the results of this?
100%.
You think so?
They come in contact with, their spread is the scope of how many people an NBA team. Pat and I, just before we washed our hands, before we all did this podcast, we're just breaking down how many people, we were trying to figure out how many people just today we'd interacted with. And it was that thing where you start going down the line and you're like, shit, like, I'm, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a jackass podcast host. You know what I mean? Like, this is like, it's such a global thing that I think they do obligate it.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
Like, the regular flu, no. Like, common cold, no.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I guess I'm just curious to if they have already maybe been tested.
Patterson, who is, look, if you want a roller coaster of a follow on social media, follow Patrick Patterson. He had a tweet or an Instagram story talking about, like, when are they going to test us, though? Like,
okay,
with a question mark or something like that.
That's alarming.
Yeah, because I think I tweeted on the Locked On Clips. Yeah, it was like, well, this is obvious that, like, at least one of the Clippers players hasn't been tested.
I mean, it's the richest owner in sports. I am very surprised that they haven't been tested yet. I guess that was why I wanted to lead with the question of if they're under obligation to present any of their findings.
Think about media. Like,
yeah, no. I mean, I agree with you. I think that that's a fair point. I was just posing the question, man.
Look, I'm here to kill messengers.
It's a conversation, buddy.
Well, you know what? This is a Clippers town, bro. And I'd like some results about the play. Because, you know, we're media. We were at the game on Clippers-Lakers. My mom was at that game.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into some lighthearted stuff. Patrick Beverley was working out on his Instagram story. You love to see it. You know, looked 100%. Was wearing regular athletic shoes,
which is a disappointment.
No Tims, but I think in a pandemic, the Tims can stay on the shelf during training.
Yeah,
I think that's fair.
Don't they protect you though?
Not in this scenario. This is different. Why? I couldn't tell you. But he wasn't going too hard. You know what I mean? Like, there are these old clips of who was that Steelers player? Harrison, who was like, who would work out so
Jerome
much.
Harrison?
Yeah, he was like, Jerome Harrison was like 40 or something. And like after games, he'd be like bench pressing 708.
Squatted like 450 after a playoff game or something.
And it's like, dude, why? Like, don't do that. Like, it seemed like Bev was like taking it. Like, he was working out, but he wasn't like losing his mind working out.
Yeah.
Which is good. I'm taking the same approach actually during this quarantine.
What approach? Wait.
Working out, but not losing my mind.
No, working out. Yeah.
I'm working out so much during this quarantine. Also, if you're looking for a beacon of hope, Shay's Instagram.
Yeah, I love this. This was so wholesome.
Shay was posting a fit pic, as you do if you're a 20-something who's the king of Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Prince. Chris Paul's the king.
All right, that's fair. Actually, Gallo's the king.
Gallo's the king of anywhere he is.
Yeah. But someone called his pants whack, which was kind of rude.
Yeah.
They said, those pants are whack. And he just responded, I disagree, but I'll try and do better next time with a thumbs up emoji. What?
What a great,
what a nice
response.
Guy.
What a good dude.
Dude.
Also, I mean, what an asshole for the guy in the comments. I got to say it. You know, maybe you're taking some fashion risks.
Shay has,
you're in quarantine.
I'll tell you one thing. Shay takes risks.
I mean, I think
I don't
that's
know a
fair.
Whole lot about fashion. I have two pairs of pants. But I know one thing is that Shay seems like he takes risks.
I know, and I think that if you take risks, like part of it is pulling anything off is just confidence. And I think, you know, if you're gonna come at him like that, get out of here. Yeah. Get out of here.
Shay's also in Oklahoma, so like Shay's dressing like he plays for an LA team in Oklahoma. Which like really exasperates. Real quick, we got one quick Woj bomb before we sign off. The NBA is raising its credit line to $1.2 billion. It was previously a paltry $650 million. So, effectively, doubling it. The NBA discussed the plan on a call with the Board of Governors on Tuesday. For the NBA, this would allow the league to increase cash flow through what's expected to be an extended shutdown of the season. Seems like too high of a credit limit. I don't know. That terrifies me. You know what I mean? Like, that's terrifying. Doubling a credit limit is never a good idea.
That's fair.
Shout out to people who've quote unquote been there before, if you know what I'm talking about. That about wraps it up.
Yeah.
For this Wednesday episode. In the meantime, you know, if you want some good listens, check out Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Josh Lloyd's always still coming out with content.
Yep.
Finding deep finds for some deep league type stuff. A lot of numbers to go over in this downtime. Thursday's episode, we're planning to have special guest Carl Tart.
That's right.
He's going to be
Party
here for
Carl Tart.
Party Carl Tart. I forgot that's his nickname. He's going to be here for Quarantine Take Thursday. Go ahead and just give us the craziest thing you've thought of, just cooped up in your room or your fridge, whatever you're
something
doing.
Something you've been marinating
something
on.
Something you've been marinating on that's gotten even worse maybe because you've been locked inside. You can leave your takes at 213-986-7354. Try and keep it clean, but if not, you know, we got time to edit. And of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, probably another Shay update, if I'm being totally honest.
Yeah.
Will, where can these fine Clippers fans and other listeners find us?
We are available on iTunes. Please subscribe if you haven't already. Leave a rating, leave a review. We'd love to read it on air. Haven't gotten one in a while, I feel like.
No, it's been a minute.
Yeah. Come on.
Hope people are still listening.
You got time?
You got time.
We'd love to know what you think. Also, check us out on Spotify, Google Pods. Ask your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers.
Yeah, Alexa knows who we are.
Yeah, that's major. But that's about it. That's all we have to plug. You can always check us out on Twitter at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler. Thanks so much for listening. I've been William, the Opinion Updike.
Thank you so much for being here, Patrick Lori.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to be here.
I have been Positive Chuck Mockler. Talk to you guys tomorrow.